I don't know if you realize the significance of that song. It's pretty heavy. He won't fail you. You know, I always get amazed. People say, well, that's not an old song. That's a new song based on truth that is old. And the most beautiful thing in the world is, regardless of what goes on in your life, He won't fail you. And that's just incredible. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Thessalonians. We'll be finishing up 1 Thessalonians this morning, and then we'll talk about the will for 2 weeks. And then we're going to talk about He Rode a Donkey. And then we're going to talk about Easter. So that's kind of where we're going. And then after that, we'll be outside. And I'm going to be talking about seeing God in the heavens, because that's going to be the eclipse and the end of the world, right? Okay, just checking. Just picture being alive in 49 to 51 A.D. You're in a town called Thessalonica. A guy named Paul, they call him an apostle, came to your town and shared the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And you went, he was there not very long. He was there maybe 3 weeks, maybe longer. And he shared about this guy named Jesus who lived and he died and was resurrected from the dead for you. And you don't know what happened to you, but you placed your faith in him. And believe that he, because he defeated death, would defeat death in your life. And you started following him. Well, because of persecution, Paul had to leave. And persecution became your life. You discovered in Thessalonica that they did not like it that you were following this Messiah named Jesus. And they began to persecute you. And just imagine, you accepted Christ. You became a part of the church. There was no church building. There was no New Testament. There was the Old Testament. There were the oral traditions passed on to the people about the person named Jesus. And you're in town, and all of a sudden you get a message from your pastor. Hey, we're going to get together. We're going to get together either outside or at someone's house. Guess what? Paul has sent us a letter. And everybody would gather around. And in that day, what would have happened is Paul would have penned a letter to the church at Thessalonica. And this letter was going to teach you how to live the Christian life. He's been gone probably a year. He's worried to death about your relationship with Christ and whether you're growing or not. So he writes this letter that we have called 1 Thessalonians. And so you gather around to hear the preacher read the letter from Paul. And it's written to you and how to live the Christian life. And I think a lot of times we, the church, forget that in the early church, that's how they spread the gospel. They didn't have the New Testament yet. The New Testament came about 330-something, and so they didn't have a New Testament like you. They had the Old Testament. And so he writes this letter. And this letter, this morning, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22, he's going to tell you how to listen to a sermon. Because I am convinced that people go to church out of duty rather than going to get a word from God. And I don't know why God chose to do it this way, but the way he did it, if you read in Ephesians chapter 4, it says he gave preachers, he gave evangelists, he gave prophets, and their responsibility was to build up the body of Christ, which is you, to do work. And so he calls strange people like me to be a pastor, one who teaches, And my responsibility is to spend time with God every week asking Him, what does First Baptist Mount Ida need to do? And then I look to the scriptures and I let the scriptures guide me. And this morning, I love this passage because it's basically about what are you supposed to do now that you're here? Listen, I've been there, done that. I've checked off the order of worship. I'm very meticulous like that. I did my duty. I went to church. I get bonus points with God. And that's the way we do it sometimes, you know. We got the songs down. They're out of the way. Didn't like any of them. And then we get there and it's like, okay, God, what are you? He's got too many points today, or he's too long-winded today. And I did my duty. And if you look at going to a worship service as doing your duty, you've missed what it's all about. And so in this passage this morning, Paul's going to be very specific about how to listen to a sermon. What are you supposed to do? How is it supposed to affect you? This is something that is so crucial. And I will say this, this is essential. Being in a church family, being in small groups, being in a worship service is so incredibly important because I believe that's how God wants to speak to you. So let's look, beginning at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 19 through 22. And just picture that you're sitting there awaiting this letter, and here's where what he has to say. He says, do not, you might underline do not because it means don't do this. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. I don't like that translation as better. I like the word do not quench. Do not throw water on what the Holy Spirit. You see, in the scripture, the Holy Spirit is described many times as fire. And it's what illuminates us. It's what helps us to understand the scripture. And what Paul says, and he's saying to you and me this morning, he's saying, do not stifle. Do not quench what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life this morning at First Baptist Mount Ida. And then he says, do not scoff at prophecies. Two negatives. And then he says, but test everything that is said. And I love this next part. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Well, he gives us an outline here. He basically gives you an outline, and it's this. Point number one, so important if you're a Christian. Point number one is you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work on your heart this morning. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to work. It says, do not stifle the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Another translation, do not put out the Spirit's fire. You see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit lives within you. You don't get a second filling of the Holy Spirit because the scripture is very clear. If you do not have the Holy Spirit living within you, you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't need a second filling. If you get the first filling, he never leaves. You just sometimes don't allow him to work. Listen to what it says in Romans 8, 9. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And then he says this, it's in parentheses. He says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Now, the one thing I don't know by looking at you this morning is I don't know if you have the Holy Spirit. I can't see your heart. But here's what I do know. If there's ever been a time in your life where you have heard the gospel preached, taught, shared, and you placed your faith in Him, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. And the Holy Spirit does not want to just be there. He wants to control you. The Holy Spirit at salvation comes in and He wants to control you. He wants to live through your personality. He wants to change your life. And therefore, you do not need to quench what He wants to do in your life. Now, I received Christ. I put my faith in Christ when I was in the fourth grade. But I can be honest with you and say there were many times I didn't allow Him to be in total control. And that's what it means to be a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. Which leads to the second thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't just want to live in you. He wants to change you. He wants to make you more like Christ. He wants to make you more like Him. Now, in John chapter 16, I want you to listen to this. This is so important. John chapter 16, we get a description about what the Holy Spirit does. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. All right, listen. He says, but in fact, this is Jesus talking, but I'm not Jesus, but here's what He said. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send Him to you. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in Me. You see how they're connected? The world's sin is it doesn't believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and it does three things. Now, here's how it works. I can come up to you, and I can tell you, you're not a Christian. I can come up to you and say, you're going to hell. And if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin, it doesn't matter what I say. You see, I realized I was a sinner in the fourth grade, and the Holy Spirit made me aware of the fact that I had a problem called sin. Now, I can preach at you all day long, but I can't convince you of that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convinces you, one, that you're a sinner. I can't convince that. Sin's disappeared. Nobody sins anymore, except if you believe the Bible. So the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. The other thing the Holy Spirit does, it convicts you of righteousness. In other words, it convicts you that Jesus died for you. I remember I was at Baylor and I was on the tennis team, and there was a guy on my team, super moral guy. He was an agnostic. He believed there was a God, but he didn't believe that he knew Him personally. And I remember sharing with him the gospel. And I said, David, I said, hey, listen, Jesus died for you and He was resurrected from the dead for you so you can have eternal life. I'll never forget. I did a great job of presenting it. I'll never forget. He looked at me and he goes, why would He do that? He didn't have a clue what I was talking about. I explained it well. The Holy Spirit not only convicts you that you're a sinner, but it convicts you that the solution is Jesus Christ. But it also says this. It also convinces people of the coming judgment. Here's another example. You can be sharing your faith and you're going to tell people, you're going to hell. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to die and burn in hell forever. And they can look at you and they can look at you and say, well, that's a problem because I don't believe in hell. No big deal. Who convicts a person of hell? It's the Holy Spirit. It convicts you of sin. It convicts you of Jesus. It convicts you of eternal life with God or not. And so we've got to understand, every time we meet, every time we gather, this thing called the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And he wants to speak to us about how to live for him. And as you're listening to me talk or anybody else talk, one of the things you need to be saying is, Lord, speak. Talk to me. What do I need to change? What do I need to start doing? Don't be a cynic. Say, Holy Spirit, do something in me. Another thing the Holy Spirit does, guys, listen to this. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. See, the Holy Spirit not only convicts you and teaches you, it gives you spiritual gifts that you're supposed to use in the church. And so the Holy Spirit is all the time trying to talk and tell you how to live your life. And here's the problem. You put water on it. Give you an example. I've had people say, I ain't going to listen to that preacher tell me what to do. What did you just do? If you already determined that, you're not going to listen. You got a fire hydrant out there putting the fire out. When God, some of you, God's working on your heart. I need to do this at First Baptist Mount Ida. And then you think, well, I don't have time. I can't do that. I don't have any gifts, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing? You're putting water on the Spirit. Some of you may be thinking about going to the Dominican Republic. Oh, but Lord, it's dangerous in our world right now. People, it's dangerous everywhere. I feel safer down there than I do here. God wants you to go. You start, I don't want to do. You see, the Holy Spirit is the fire that wants us to do. And that's why it's a command. He says, do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Are you doing that right now as I speak? I remember one time, favorite thing people like to say, preachers, they're always talking about money. They want our money. And I had that happen in every church, and I always used to laugh because I said, well, you can go back and look at all my sermons, and I usually have one or two that are on money a year. I said, oh, I know, but all you preachers want us to give all our money to your church. Come on, people. You know, the Holy Spirit, man, it puts it on your heart to do what is right. And so the first thing is allow the Holy Spirit. Maybe God is working on you. Maybe you feel the word, it means convict. Maybe He's convicting you of a sin or an attitude or this or that. I don't know. But I do know that's the point of a service like this, is for God to speak. And here's the thing. I don't know how He works. Most time I think, well, I blew that sermon. That's my view. Second thing. Value the teachings of God's Word. Don't be cynical about church and sermons. He says, do not scoff at prophecies. Another translation says, do not despise prophecies. Another one says, do not despise prophetic utterances. You know what the gift of prophecy is? It's to speak truth. It's to speak the truth of God. It's not to tell the future. A prophet simply spoke for God to the people. And what happens if we're not careful, we don't heed that command, we tend to think, that's just a guy talking. And I am a guy. And I am fallible. But I really, really do try to study. Because I'm not accountable to you for my sermon. I'm accountable to Him. He says, do not scoff. You see, the purpose of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says, but one who prophesies strengthens others. When I preach, I want to make you stronger. One who prophesies encourages them. I want you to think you can conquer the world. One who prophesies comforts them. I want you to feel God's comfort, God's presence. But what happens in our world today is people scoff. It literally means, if you scoff, it means to reject, disregard, or treat as if it has no value. Say he's just a preacher. Anybody can do a sermon. I'm not going to listen to that stuff. What are you doing? You're scoffing at prophecy. It's a dangerous thing to do. We're commanded not to do that. So as we come, we're to say, Holy Spirit, speak. And then we're also to say, Pastor, talk to us. You see, when I'm here, it's not about, okay, we're here, yay, we did what we're supposed to do. No, listen, people, when I'm here, I'm trying to say, it's out there, we need to make a difference. The church needs to turn the world upside down. We need to receive teaching. We need to value the spoken word. I can't get enough of it. You say, Bill, you're weird. But I'm discovering there's other people can't get enough of it. God wants to speak to Bill Ashburn. He does. I just have to be willing to listen. Third thing, carefully examine all teachings. You're not supposed to be just a dumbo who listens to people and doesn't examine what they say. It's a command. We are to test everything that is said. As a matter of fact, after Paul preached in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, it said, that very night the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly. But look what they did. They listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if what Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. You see, you need to test those. There are some really bad teachings going on in our world today. And the way you evaluate teaching is not by another teacher. Please don't come to me and tell me that preacher so-and-so believes this and that. I could care less. What I care about is what Scripture says. And I have a Holy Spirit who teaches me just like brother so-and-so. We need to take Scripture, and we need to understand there's some bad stuff out there that people are teaching. And there's some misunderstood. Let me give you an example. When I was a pastor and I had a youth group, I have a kid who's a godly guy now, but he was in my youth group. His name was Brian Jones. And we were memorizing Scripture. And one of the scriptures they had to memorize was Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, Brian was a little bitty squirt. He was he had diabetes very badly. He wasn't really able to play sports. He wanted to play sports. But one day, Brian decided to stand up in our youth group and say, hey, guys, I've memorized Philippians 4:13. I believe it. I'm going to play sports. I'm probably going to be a pro someday. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's not what it means. You can take Scripture. One of my professors in seminary said, Scripture means what it means, not what you say it means. I can do all things. Does that mean you can jump off a building and live? No, it doesn't do that. I'll tell you one that we all have been a part of. Jeremiah 29:11. How many of us have that around the house? For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to do. It's all good. We got it everywhere. Do you know the context of that passage? God has sent the Babylonians to whip the Jews because they'd been so disobedient, and they were taken into captivity. They weren't even living in the promised land anymore. They'd been there 70 years, and he gave them a promise that they're going to get to go back someday. And so he says to them, I know the plans I have for you. You're going to go back. I'm going to restore the Jewish group. It's not a promise for you to claim for him to bless your life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Just realize Jeremiah 29:11, they had already been through a war and lost and been taken into captivity and whipped. And they were wanting to go home. And he gave them a promise. So be careful about what you believe. And Paul said, listen, you need to examine, because in that day people would come and they would say, and I'll be honest with you, when people come to me and say, God has a message that he wants me to give it to your church, you know what my first thought is? No way, Jose. Because I've let somebody get loose in the pulpit before and I didn't know what they were going to say, and they said some pretty crazy stuff. Pretty crazy stuff. I want to know what you're going to talk about ahead of time. You see, we need to understand, we need to test. We need to be like 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and correctly explains the word of truth. Here's the tragedy. We know more about the world than we know about the Bible. My hope for every single one of you, I'll just be honest, is that you would love God's Word so much and to be determined to let it guide your life. Check out everything I say. Fourth thing, keep what is good. I love that one. Keep what is good. Paul says, when someone stands up and preaches, keep what is good. You know what this is? This is a blessing catcher. When I read my Bible and I have my time with God in the morning, I write down the blessings that He wants me to do. I keep what is good in here. We put sermon notes. We don't put them there for you to try to guess beforehand, like all of you do, what goes into blank. But my hope is that you would... How many of you have done that? I just want to know. How many of you look at the deal? Love honesty. Love that. Try to figure out what's in those blanks. At least you're thinking. But you know what really matters to me? Is that you hang on to what is good. Maybe right now God's convicting you about something you need to do. Capture it. Write it down. Say, I'm going to do blank. You see... Too many times when we listen to sermons, we're just listening to the clock to know when it's over to go home. Keep what is good. Take possession of is what it literally means. To embrace. That's why I have a blessing catcher. I write down the things I need to know that are good to do. I need to remember them. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. What have you done from what you've heard? Take notes. Make a plan to apply what you know. And then the fifth thing, he gives a warning. It's a command. All these are commands. He says, stay away from every kind of evil. Boy, that's a word for America. Stay away from every kind of evil. You know what we like to do? We like to see how close we can get to evil without being evil. You know, you tell a teenager to date and one of the questions is, how far can I go? You've already messed up the question. You're seeing how close to evil you can get. You make your standards beforehand. The word abstain means to stay away. It's a strong word. When you're reading your Bible and God speaks to you and says, don't do this, write it down. And then make a plan not to do it anymore. This little journal makes my life so practical. It's where I catch the good stuff. It's where I realize the bad stuff. But we need to understand that the Bible teaches, don't see how close you can get to evil. Figure out what is evil and stay away from it. We were in Colorado Springs and there was this shop that we went into. And I just felt it. It's just evil. They had a little witch's broom up there. That's not a good sign. It was, you know, incense and all that. And Julie and I talked about it later. It's like, I just don't like, places make me a little bit nervous. Not because I'm scared, so I just don't want to be there. stay away from every kind of evil. Flee it. All those things you know you don't need to do, just flee it. You see, the purpose of a sermon is to hear God speak to you. And this is what's crazy to me. God takes the Scripture and He uses the Holy Spirit, and I can screw up a sermon, which I do all the time. I can screw up the sermon, but the Holy Spirit can take the Scripture and convict you and show you of what you need to change. But the point of listening to a message is to be changed, to hear a word from God. It's to do something new. It's to start something new, to stop doing something wrong. It is to encounter God. It's what church is supposed to be about. So if I was to ask you, what has God said to you this morning? Well, if you're not a Christian, you probably don't have a clue, because you don't have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what convicts. So maybe you need to begin with Jesus Christ. That is the best place to begin. But then after that, you need to say, okay, what is God telling me to do? What is He telling me to quit? Now, what you want to do is you want to find somebody. Let me tell you, this group, look around. Everybody in this group is flawed. If you want to find somebody doing something wrong and focus on them, you've missed the whole point. God, it's what does He want you to do? What does He want me to do? That's why you go to church, for God to speak. Is that why you go? I don't know. So I'm going to look closest in the word prayer. Maybe some of you need to start with Jesus. You need to make sure you got that taken care of. Okay? That's number one. Because He can't speak until you know Him. And I'm not a high pressure person, but if you don't know Him, if you're not sure, you need to be sure. I'll be over here. I would love to talk to you. Maybe God's convicting you about something you need to do. Next Sunday, we have an adult baptism. Maybe that's something you hadn't done and you need to do it. Next Sunday, we'll be doing that. You said, Bill, that doesn't save you. Absolutely 100% correct. It shows who does save you. It's obedience. Or maybe God's putting on your heart to go to the Dominican. Or maybe you need to start doing this or that. Maybe you need to get more involved. I don't know. But I do know the Holy Spirit does. So let's pray. Father, I come to You. I thank You it's not about a man. It's about You. I thank You that Your Holy Spirit can take what I say and do a better job of it. Because I sure need help. Father, may we be obedient to what You tell us to do. Father, I'm just going to be honest. My goal for this church is to literally turn this town upside down for You. I want people to be upset with us because we're making such a difference. That will only happen when we hear You. So Lord, help us to hear and help us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of announcements.